I'll be reading from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Good morning. Great to see all of you on this beautiful day. Hope that you'll enjoy this week of Thanksgiving, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But it's hard to believe. We're another Thanksgiving, and by the time we get here, the year is almost gone. It will fly on by, and we'll be in December. Boy, as we get started, we have these magnets, car magnets in the back that says Jesus is Lord, Milton Church of Christ, and we have plenty of those, and you're welcome to get one. At the conclusion of the service, we'll have them out in the foyer, and hope that you'll take one. I have to confess to you, I'm probably not going to get one. Because it says in small print on the bottom, remove weekly for surface cleaning. Cleaning my car is an annual event, and if I get this, it may have to become weekly, and that will stress me. So I have got to decide whether I'm going to be disobedient or put it on there. But get one of those if you'd like to, or however many for your vehicles, because we have several and would love for you to take one. This morning I do want to talk about Thanksgiving, because it is a week of giving thanks, and I want us to be thankful just because we not just because we get some days off, hopefully, this week. Most of us will get two or three extra days off this week, which will be enjoyable. Hopefully, we're not going to just give thanks because it's a day to eat a lot, although I do look forward to that, and I imagine many of you do as well. But I want us to, as we usually do, on Sunday before Thanksgiving, just to stop for a moment and think about all the things for which we are to be thankful. And do that not just because we're at church, but to be thankful to God who provides them all. And the reason I say not just at church, because, well, that's a church thing. But I want our Thanksgiving in our lives to not just be we're thankful to God at church, but to realize in every aspect of our lives, God blesses us. If you don't get anything else out of this morning's lesson, remember that. Not just in religious matters does God bless us. Not just at church does God bless us. Not that God is just important in the spiritual aspect of life, but that God is the giver of our blessings. And it is the Lord and King in every aspect of life. And that's so easy to really forget deep down in our core. Now, if I ask you that, most all of you, if not 100%, would say, yes, I agree with that. But sometimes in our going on about life, we forget how important that is and what that means, because I want to, again, take control. I want to try to control everything that's around me, or I want to take credit for everything that's around me, or I don't just stop and open my eyes and acknowledge all the blessings that God gives us. And that is part of human nature. Israel, as we read, especially in the Exodus, is really good at seeing all the problems and overlooking all the blessings, aren't they? And I look at them, as I have shared with you many times, with frustration. But then when you look in the mirror, it's a little hard to be as frustrated with them, because when we're honest with ourselves, very often we do the very same things, that we are become dissatisfied or disillusioned with maybe where we are or what we have, and not realize how abundant the blessings of God are. We talked over the last few weeks as we've looked at some of the great feasts that Israel celebrated. Several of those were around harvest time. And so our Thanksgiving comes really kind of at the conclusion of harvest time in our country. So that kind of parallels what God had implemented for Israel. Now, I understand that for probably most of us now in this room, we're certainly not as tied to the harvest as we would have been decades ago, where we would have, our year, financially and food-wise, would have really been greatly, greatly impacted by the harvest from our gardens, from our crops. And now many of us work in situations where it does flow a little differently. But it's a great time for us to be thankful, not only for the abundance, not only for the abundance that we have individually, but for the abundance that our nation has and how God has blessed each one of us. And we are greatly blessed. I want to acknowledge that we're not all blessed equally, and that we all struggle at times with different things. And so as I talk about our blessings, I don't want to leave the impression that I have no knowledge or no thought that maybe today you're struggling. You may be struggling financially. You may be struggling emotionally or spiritually. And certainly we're prayerful about that. But I want us to think, even with each of the issues that we might be dealing with, the struggles that we might be having, to pull back for a moment and think, but I'm still blessed by God. Because it's easy to see again the problem and forget the blessing. I want to kind of give us something to undergird the lesson, to think about maybe in a different way. Because the question often comes, if God is good and loving, and we're going to talk about that, why are there the problems in the world that there are? With sickness, with violence, with hunger, with death. Why do these things exist if God is loving? And some would say it is evidence that God is really not what the Scripture tells us He is, or what as Christians we know Him to be. But I would give you a totally different argument. That there are struggles in this world are not God's fault. Are they here? Absolutely. We would be blind or ignorant to deny them. But they're not God's fault. Because when God created the world, it's so important that we remember these things. What did He create? When it was all over at the end of creation, what did God say? This is very good. What caused the problem? When God said this is very good, there's no death. There's no hunger. There's no sickness. There's no struggle. There's no pain. It was man, Adam and Eve, and all of us who have followed. It would be easy to blame somebody else, right? And I like to do that. If we can find somebody else to blame, that's really a better thing. But all of us who have fallen have been and are sinners, disobedient to the will of God, and the consequences of sin is death. Sin always brings destruction. Now, I'm not saying that the struggles that you face today are because that you have specifically done something wrong and God has punished you, although sometimes that occurs. But we live in a world that is fallen, and all of us have to bear the consequences of living in a world that is fallen. All right, that is no longer the perfect place that God created. We're living in a world that's under a curse. Is it God's fault? No. But God did not make us to be puppets, to be robots. He allowed us to choose between service and disservice, between right and wrong, between loving God and not loving God, between being selfish and unselfish. And we make those choices, and there are consequences. But what I want to look at, what would the world be were God and His mercy and benevolence not here? Because the Scripture will tell us, every good gift comes from God. So if God were not here, there are no good gifts. God is light. What if He were not here? We would be in darkness. Having visited jail on multiple occasions, not as an occupant, but as a visitor. I wanted to make that very clear this morning. It's not confession time. When you talk to somebody who's spending much time in jail, not only is the struggle of loss of freedom difficult, but the people that you are surrounded with is not fun. And because those people, not everybody, tend to not be the greatest of social, do not fit in socially. They're in jail for some reason because they're thieves or they fight or they murder or they do something. Everybody say, you know, I hate being locked up, but I never feel safe. I'm never comfortable. Or at best, these folks are idiots. I've heard that comment more than once. You know, I am locked up with a bunch of idiots. And they just yell and scream and knock and beat, and it just, there's never a point to relax and be easy. The reason I share that is, not that that's the absence of God, but it's not people we choose to be with. But what if our whole society, if our whole world were filled with people who did not believe, did not know God, where He was absent? In the days of Noah, that's how the world was. And what does the Scripture say? Their mind was on evil all day long. Because God is with us, we have good things. We have good things. And I want us to, as we enter Thanksgiving, to be thankful at this time of harvest and time of celebration for the blessings that God has blessed us with. And to pull ourselves back and say, you know, God has blessed me. I may have struggles, but how would it be if God were not here? If God were not answering prayer and God were not providing for me and for us? And to be thankful for that. You know, Israel had plenty to eat. They just got tired of quail and manna. And I get that because I'm pretty much a variety eater. I'm not totally indiscriminate in eating, but you pretty much put it out there, I'll give it a whirl with some exceptions. But the reason I say I don't like to eat the same thing every day. There's a young lady I do business with, and she always asks about my lunch. She's one of the tellers, and she's very nice, and I like her. She's great to ask about family, and she'll say, have you had your lunch? What did you have? And every day I can tell you what she has for lunch, stir fry. And she even said this last week, she said, it's really the only thing I know how to cook. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't dislike stir fry, but every day is not what I would want. The reason I share that is we have been so blessed that just providing for our basic needs of nourishment is almost not a thought. It is a thought of what variety do I want? You know, it's almost hard to stop and be thankful and say, God, how blessed I am that it's not a question of can I nourish my body, but it's a dilemma as to with what of your abundance am I going to nourish it with? The reason I say that is it's important that we back up and say how blessed we are with warm houses, a warm building to meet in. Miss Nancy was asking the children this morning what they were thankful for, and one of them was the building, and Nancy said, because when it's raining, we can be dry. And John Harris said, the sun is shining. John Harris knew it wasn't raining today. But we're still thankful for the building. You know, those are things that we kind of take for granted because why? For most of us, we've been blessed with. I have used an outhouse on a few occasions in my life, but where I have lived and where I have been, that's not been a necessity. But some of you grew up at a time where on a cold morning like this, it was bracing to go out in the morning. I just share some of these things to say how blessed we are. And for us all to pull back and thank God for the blessings that we have, because it's easy to look and say, but I don't have what so-and-so has. I don't drive what they drive. I don't live in what they live. They don't seem to have the problem that I have. But it's important to be thankful for what we have. When we look at our health, and I know sometimes we struggle with that, but We could be in worse shape, couldn't we? I know sometimes that's not a thought, but we need to be stop back and be thankful. Say, God, that you have blessed me the way that you have. And be thankful for that. So as we enter this week of Thanksgiving, let's pull back and look and be thankful to God and say, God, this would not be a good place were you not here blessing us. But it is good because you are with us and we want to stop and thank you for it. I want to read again what Sam or what Carl read for us from Psalm 103 and a little more of this chapter of praise that David writes, because it is a psalm of thanksgiving, and just point out just a few things from it, and then the lesson will be yours. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to just look at one point from that as we move on, and it's one that I want us to think about kind of as we close, but we'll talk about it for a moment. David's thought here is vivid, that God has saved us from the pit. From the pit. Imagine this morning if you woke up in a pit with no one around to rescue you, that you knew you were going to spend today and tomorrow, and Thursday is Thanksgiving, that you were going to be in a cold, dark pit. It's almost hard for us to imagine. When we think about Joseph, as he was going to be sold by his brothers into captivity, what did they do with him? They threw him in a pit, into a cistern. And he was down with no one around. You know, just dark and cold and lonely. When we think about Jesus awaiting trial, not probably incarcerated in a jail like we would be, would have been in a pit that would have been dark, and actually the high priest would have been two floors up and would have looked down into the pit. The accused would have been down in a pit, and you would have been talking up to someone from the pit. And then the thought is that death itself is a pit, a cold and dark and confining and lonely place. And the psalmist reminds us to praise God and be thankful that He has delivered us from the pit, not only literally, but figuratively, that we are not facing eternity of death or loneliness or separation at the very least, not to talk about eternal torment, but just to be in the pit, to be out and to be free and to have the hope and the promise of a bright eternity. God has delivered us from what? The consequences of sin, which brought the destruction that's around us and whose ultimate price is death, separation from God and destruction. And God has delivered us from that future to a bright and glorious home. I'll be honest with you. We ought to be extremely thankful today if our lot was just not to be in the pit and to be able to live lives like we live them today. We ought to be extremely thankful about that, right? Because most of us are fairly comfortable. In fact, that's why the song is, everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to go now. Because we're for the most part, relatively comfortable here. But not only has God rescued us from the pit and put us into a fallen world, but the hope and the promise is, it's not the pit that awaits you, but it is a perfect home with God Himself. How can we be unthankful? How can we be unrejoicing with that hope and promise of our future? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And I think this is a key passage. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Because as we've talked about these great feasts of Israel, and especially Passover that we talked about, it is about God's deliverance of His people from the captivity of Egypt and then leading them into the land of promise, right? But what the psalmist is telling us and what is so important for us to remember is this is not just God uniquely delivering Israel from Egypt at this time. Now, did God do that? Yes. Was it a powerful and special thing? Yes. But what the psalmist is telling us is in the events with Israel and Moses, in his delivering them from the captivity of slavery in Egypt, his providing for them in the desert, providing them clothing and food that didn't wear, or shoes and clothing that didn't wear out, with food, with water when it was not available, God taking care of all of their needs, and then leading them to the land of promise and driving out the inhabitants and giving them the land, that what God is actually doing is revealing himself. That's who God is. That God delivers his people from captivity and leads us to a land that flows with milk and honey. So as we celebrate Thanksgiving and think about all of the great things God has done that are revealed to us in Scripture, that this wasn't only what God did for his people in ancient times. This is not only how God treated Israel, but this is how God treats his people. That he delivers us and leads us to a land of promise. Because just as Israel was delivered from Egyptian captivity, we have been delivered from the captivity of sin through the perfect Passover lamb, the Son of God himself. That God is compassionate and merciful, and that's who God is. And so we need to be thankful that we serve a compassionate, benevolent God who meets our needs today, who provides for us and makes things better, but who is a deliverer from sin and from bondage and leading us to a perfect home that he has prepared for us. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquity. He provides us mercy. It's what the psalmist is saying. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Now let's look at this passage for a moment. As for a man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. It's fall. It's looking like fall. In fact, it's beginning to look a lot like winter. You thought I was going to say Christmas, didn't you? It's Thanksgiving. We're not going to talk about that yet. That's next week. It's beginning to look a lot like winter. The trees have lost most of their color and have lost most of their leaves. But it wasn't just a few weeks ago when we were talking about how beautiful spring was. Remember, I made the comment about the flowers because we had flowers around and how pretty they were and they were blooming. And there is, I mean, we remember that happened, but it's really hard to remember them because they haven't waited this long. Most of them bloomed early and the blooms were gone. And they are just memories. In fact, barely memories. Barely memories. And what the psalmist is saying, that our lives, while they're so important to us, in the scheme of eternity, and the scheme of godliness, and even in the scheme of world history, we're here for just a very short time and are gone, and the place doesn't remember us. It's not to be depressing. It's really not meant to be depressing, although it is kind of one of those thoughts that, you know, we're here and we seem like we're so important and we're gone a little while and it's hard to remember who we were or what we did. Hopefully we'll make an impact in some lives, but things will go on. Things will go on. But the optimistic part of what the psalmist is saying is, even though we understand that about the flowers, in reality our lives here and our physical bodies at this stage are very short. God is still mindful of us, and his love for us is everlastingly enduring. That God sees us as important, even though we came from the dust and we're here only for a little while. We are important to God. and we benefit from His mercy, from His benevolence, from His love, and from His kindness. That God blesses us and will bless those who follow us. That God provides for us with all of our needs. He has rescued us from the pit. That He has provided the Lamb as a sacrifice. The perfect Son of God who gave His life, who was sacrificed on that cross, that we might have eternal life. That we might have life eternally, that we might have life in abundance. It is a week of Thanksgiving. And I know for some of us, there won't be all that much work in the week of Thanksgiving. But I also acknowledge that many of us who may not be working that much will enjoy the benefits of some of you who have already started working and will work diligently over the next week, getting everything ready for us to eat and to enjoy and for family to be together. But no matter how our Thanksgiving unfolds, I want us to take this week not only to enjoy, which is important, but to be thankful. To be thankful for the abundance, and we are abundantly blessed. For us not just to see the heals, but to see God who delivers us. Not to see the obstacles, but to see all of the blessings. And to be thankful for what God has given us. What God has given us not only in physical blessings and the spiritual blessings that we enjoy today, but to be so thankful that we have been delivered from the pit. That our future is not dark, but it is bright. Bright beyond our understanding and belief. That God has prepared a home for us and is keeping us safely here, delivering us to that land of promise. That home that Jesus said He had gone to prepare for us. And know that as surely as Jesus ascended, if we've been reading our scripture, we've read about the ascension. We've been reading our daily Bible. We've read about the ascension, and you remember the angel said, as you have seen Him ascend, you will see Him return. That Jesus will come back, and that we will be with Him in God's perfect home. Our future is not the pit as God's children. It is not fighting for ourselves. It is not desolation. But it is a life of light because God is with us. He fills us with His Spirit. God blesses us, and God has prepared a home for us. Let's give thanks for that. If you're not a Christian today, what better time than today to give your life to Christ, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb of sacrifice, so that you might be cleansed and might be heir of eternal life, that you can give thanks for the future that awaits. For those of us who are Christians, maybe today you need to come confessing sin and asking for forgiveness. Or maybe you have a real struggle today that you need us to pray for you in a special way. We'd love to do that in this time of Thanksgiving so that burdens might be lifted because Jesus went to the cross to pay the price for us. And for that, we are thankful. If you need to respond, why don't you come while we stand and sing.